What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. The Wednesday edition. Great to have you here. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A tremendous Wednesday. We are front loading. I've got a lot of different content, lots of different ways to go. I'd love for you to be a part of this thing. Let's get it. Got an interview coming up next segment, so if you want to get in, you should jump in the rotation right now. That telephone number is toll-free. It's good. Wherever you are, 1-800-636-8686. What do you want to hit on? BBN, Kentucky, Big Blue Nation going down last night. Walter McCarty, former Wildcat great, head coach of Evansville, joins me in 15 minutes. My thoughts on that game in a moment. Coming up, also in hour number two, the WBO welterweight champ, Terrence Crawford. Also in the second hour, the U.S. men's national team coach, Greg Berhalter. We are front-loading all three interviews in the first half of the program. So again, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. And by now, you know the email address, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Let's start with some college basketball. Evansville, 67. Number one, Kentucky, 64. Let me go ahead and repeat that for you. Evansville, 67. Top-ranked Kentucky, 64. As my guy John Rothstein would say, this is only November. This is not March. This is November. And this is not one of those strange holiday tournaments from way back in the day where you play in some funky gym and anything can happen. That's not what this is. This was Evansville, the Evansville Purple Aces, going into Lexington and taking down one of the most storied teams in college basketball history. Not just the Evansville Purple Aces, but the Evansville Purple Aces, coached by Kentucky legend Walter McCarty, the guy who won a national championship at Kentucky, just beat Kentucky in Kentucky's house. And then he partied in the visitors' locker room.
Trust where we're going. We're going to be tough to deal with. But we got to trust every single time we go out. We're building something special, right? We don't have time to deal with just our players. It's just about me. We trust each other, guys. We're going to do more than this, right? Bring it in.
If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw an amazing moment. I think my favorite detail, though, from that entire night was Kyle Tucker reporting that McCarty stood outside the locker room for a second before he went in, knowing the shower that was going to ensue, and saying, quote, this is a $4,000 suit, which is awesome. That's a $4,000 suit and $1 million win. McCarty, who grew up in Evansville, Indiana, went back there to take over that program, and then he pulls off one of the biggest upsets in basketball history. Like, that was not just a 25-point underdog going into one of the most legendary arenas ever and taking down John Calipari and company. That was not just number one going down. That was a number one going down to a team that was picked to finish eighth. Not eighth in the country, eighth in their own conference. Kentucky had won 52 straight at home to unranked teams. Evansville won 11 games all of last year. Then they went into Lexington to get their second game this year, to win their second game. That might be the worst loss for Kentucky in the history of that building. And that is the stuff of legend. You want the magic of college basketball. That was it right there. Listen to the coach.
I don't know if anything matches this other than winning the national championship, you know, from a basketball standpoint. So it's awesome, man, to be able to come in here and play on this type of stage. And I got a good group of guys. I really do. They love each other, and they're very connected. And to bring this group in here and to be able to do that, it's just awesome. And that getting better than that.
No, it does not get any better than that. And that group is connected. They are tight. They are together. And it was awesome. That was KJ Riley going for 18, including 8 of 8 from the line. That was Sam Cunliffe going for 17 points and having the Stones to sink both foul shots with 6.8 seconds left to stretch that lead to three.
Either way, it'll be a one-possession game. Cunliffe now 2 for 3 on the night from the line. Kentucky with no timeouts and now a three-point advantage, 67-64.
And then all that was left for Kentucky was a last-second prayer.
Sestina looks at inbounds. He throws it into Maxey with 5 seconds. Maxey with 4, 3 seconds. Elevates on a three. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shut college basketball on this Tuesday night. What a win for Coach McCartney's return to Kentucky.
Purple Aces Radio, if you need them. And think about this. Kentucky needed a desperation three to tie Evansville, and they didn't get it. And that's no fluke either. McCarty told Andy Katz after the game that he had been telling Tony Delk and some of the other guys that his crew might be able to get this one. And they did. The Purple Aces led at half. They won that game. They out-rebounded Kentucky. They forced turnovers. They found holes in Kentucky's defense, and they were tough as hell. Because even though they led by 8 in the first half and 7 in the second, you knew it was only a matter of time before Kentucky went on that run. And you know how that goes. The number one team is on the ropes. They go on a run. The underdog can't handle it. They get overwhelmed. They unravel. Except that's not what happened. Evansville did not get overwhelmed. Kentucky tied it at 53 with 8 minutes to go. Then Evansville grabbed every rebound for the next 2 minutes. A 6-0 run on rebounds, a 5-0 run on points, and that's toughness. And that's the team handling the pressure of the moment and rising above it. That's how you beat the number one team in their house. You take their best shots, and you keep firing back. Down the stretch, they got in front, they stayed in front, and as the pressure built, as the upset alert messages were being pushed out across the entire nation, the Purple Aces just got tougher. In other words, they didn't blink and they didn't cave. They stayed on task. They stayed on mission. They won the game. As Cal said afterwards,
Walter and their team deserved to win. If we would have somehow pulled it out, kind of wouldn't even have been fair because they fought us the whole game and they were the tougher team. They executed. They made shots and threes and free throws. My hat's off to them. It's hard to do that in this building. But they were more ready to play. He had his team better prepared than I had my team.
Pretty classy response. And he's right. That's how well Evansville played. Cal's saying that even if his team had won, found a way to win, it wouldn't have been right. And he is right. Like, how big of a deal is this? Check these Evansville chants. Not from the Evansville-Kentucky game, but from the North Alabama-Indiana game. You think the crowd in Assembly Hall was not fired up to hear about Kentucky losing and a team from down the road taking them down? These chants are at another game.
Isn't this why college basketball is great? I mean, it's November and it's still exciting. This is what makes college basketball absolutely fantastic. I absolutely love it. I love upsets and what it is. And I think it brings the joy of what that upset means.
Again, Evansville chance at another game. I know all the Kentucky haters and all the Cal haters are going to be out today. They'll be drinking up the tears of the BBN. That's fine. That's cool. Just don't sleep on Kentucky. They're good. They just beat Michigan State last week. They're not going to go to the NIT, although Cal might be tempted to say that after last night. They're not as tough as he wants. They got caught last night by a team that had a plan and they executed it, but don't get it twisted. This isn't about what the Wildcats didn't do. It is about what the Purple Aces did do. And what they did was awesome, which is exactly why Walter McCarty is going to come up on the show next. Because last night, Evansville outplayed, out-toughed, outclassed, out-executed, and out-coached the number one team in the nation, and they did it in their building. Incredible win. You know, Cal will be fine. Cal always is. Cal will be fine. Except, he better hope he's got more upcoming coaching dates with the likes of Roy Williams or Coach K than former 96 Cats this season. I mean, if Walter was the poop in Cal's ice cream last night, what would an Anthony Epps, Derek Anderson, Wayne Turner, or Ron Mercer-led squad be? Do we know what these dudes are doing right now? Cal better check the schedule. Win for the freaking ages. Number 40, welcome home. He's coming up next segment. What an amazing win that was. All right, also today, the Colin Kaepernick workout set up by the NFL. Spoiler alert, sham. Come on, man, really? I've got thoughts on that, and some of you aren't going to like them. But if you want the truth, I'll give it to you in a few minutes. I'm going to talk some tennis today. Rafa Nadal. He had a great presser. And remember, one of the best pressers ever involved Rafa Nadal. He's back. This one's not as good as that one, but it's still good nonetheless. 1-800-636-8686. And on this Wednesday, I want to go off the board on a few other topics. What do you want to hit on? Remember, we are front-loading. Walter McCarty is coming up next segment, coming up next hour. We're going to talk some U.S. soccer with Greg Berhalter. We'll talk boxing with Terrence Crawford and more. Romy, Big Blue Nation. What? Bleep you. Signed Eddie O.
Roll what? You.
Yeah. John and Wisco, War Kentucky. Actually, he wrote War Kentucky. Going down early. Hey, Rome. While watching that Evansville postgame video in the locker room, I was fully expecting Walter to say, "This is our house from now on." What a win. The 2013 Kentucky squad, who lost to Robert Morris in the NIT, are laughing at that loss by the Wildcats at home. Damn. Matt in Poland Springs. Even more amazing is he essentially called a shot. He told his team before the game, "We're going to get him in there. It's going to be a great day." And it was, and they did. And again, my favorite part, it's one thing to have the lead at halftime. It's one thing to have a lead with 8 minutes to go or be tied. But you know the number one team in the country, in their own building, is going to go on their run. And you're going to unravel, and you're going to implode. And that's not what happened. It is a podcast day. Bill Romanowski, Ep 104 of the Jim Rome Podcast. All right, when we come back, we are talking to Evansville head coach Walter McCarty, coming off a win for the ages. That's next. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need some more energy? How about I answer that by telling you what we do not want? We don't want bars. We don't want sugary snacks. We don't want energy drinks. We want beef, pure and simple. So where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. Shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and tasty. It's not tough. What makes it so good? The company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. So they take their smoked beef extremely seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four great flavors. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach, wherever. Just look for it in a Clearview bag. That way you see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. I spent the entire open on it, so why don't we talk to the guy who was right in the middle of the whole thing. We are joined by the head basketball coach at Evansville University. Second season with the Purple Aces. He was a national champion at Kentucky in 1996. He was the 19th pick overall in the 1996 NBA draft. Evansville is 2-0 on the year. They are hosting IU Kokomo tomorrow night, and they're coming off a huge win. Walter McCarty is my guest. Walter, it is great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Jim. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, it's so good to have you. I would imagine that you would tell me every day is a great day to be a Purple Ace, but how great was last night, and then how great is it to wake up this morning knowing what you and your team just did?
It was great, man. It's great for our program. It's great for our players who put in an extreme amount of hard work preparing for that game. And I just wanted to wake up this morning and make sure that it happened. you know, and that I wasn't dreaming. So it was awesome.
That is great. Walter McCarty, my guest. It really did happen. You know, there's so much I want to ask you about. But one of the things that's clear, even though you were a 25-point underdog taking on the number one team in the country in their house, you felt like you had a chance. You told Tony Delk in the lead-up to that game that you might be onto something, you might have something. What did you see, Walter, that made you feel that way?
Just the way that we play. Our guys, we're really connected. And we're not young. You know, we got five or six juniors who are transfers from bigger schools. We have a sophomore who was an NBA top 100 kid. And we have a senior point guard who's 6'5", 190. So these guys have played a lot of basketball, and I knew they weren't going to back down. This is a group. There's a special feeling around this group. And I just knew if we could hang in there for the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game and not get intimidated by being in Rupp, that we were going to fight. And they were really prepared, and just watching them, you know, 3 or 4 days in preparation leading to the game, that they were locked in. And the way we moved the ball, sharing the ball, we were primed to have a big night.
Walter McCarty is joining us. Evansville over Kentucky last night. You know, that's not a fluke win either. You didn't stumble into that. You outplayed Kentucky. You out-rebounded Kentucky. You out-tough Kentucky. You talk about that connectedness, that togetherness. How have you gone about getting this group to stay together and stay bonded like that? What was the process?
I'm just really just, I think it's an extension of me. I always talk about my Kentucky team, but I don't talk about the talent on the team. I talk about how connected we were and how much we were. I talk about the brotherhood, and that was what's special about that team. You know, a couple of those guys still come around, Tony Delk, Rob Mercer. And it's good for my players to see that. It's not just about basketball. It's about really enjoying this experience, being here. But also, these are the guys that you're going to be talking to 20, 25 years later. So that's what's really important, and that's how we're getting them connected. They really love being around each other. They love making a play for one another, and it's really important. If you care about your teammates, we're going to have a lot of success, and they've bought into that, and we do it every day, and we just continue to build and build and build upon that.
Evansville over Kentucky last night. Walter McCarty is the head coach. He's joining us. You mentioned that brotherhood. Tony Delk gave you a huge hug after that game. Can you explain what kind of emotions were you feeling in that moment?
Oh man, I'm getting emotional now just thinking about it. Tony Delk is my brother, man. We were roommates all 4 years at Kentucky, so obviously you were in college. You grew a lot. Like, he's family. His family's my family, vice versa, man. We dreamed about being in these type of moments together, about winning national championships, about playing in the NBA. We set up countless hours a night talking about what we wanted to do, right? And just for all this stuff to happen, and we get to share all this stuff together, man, it's getting better than that. That's my brother. I'm there for him. He's there for me. And it's just that type of brotherhood that we had at Kentucky.
Walter McCarty joining us tonight after a huge, huge win. So I'm curious, what was it like then to go into that arena and be there as a visiting coach, Walter?
It was great. You know, to be honest, man, I'm very thankful for that opportunity. Cal was great. We appreciate them bringing us in. But everybody was so gracious, man, before the game, during the game, and after the game. And they were giving me high fives, hugs, great job. And I know they love their school, but it just says something about the people and what we were able to do when I was there as a kid, as a student, that they really appreciate it. I'm so thankful that they showed that type of humility.
You know, I wanted to ask you something. Like, you have to be there to understand it, but Kentucky and Lexington in particular, it's such a unique place. It's a really, really cool place. I've spent time there, and I love it. I've been in the arena, and the whole culture and the whole program is just so different. What does your time at Kentucky as a player mean to you?
Everything. It was the best time of my life. It means everything. You know, we all went to college and we had the best times of our life, man. Grew up as a person, grew up as a basketball player, created lifelong relationships. It all happened there. And it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better.
Walter, before you go, you've paid your dues as a coach. You worked with Rick Pitino at Louisville. You worked with Jim O'Brien with the Pacers. Mm-hmm. You worked with Brad Stevens in Boston. A lot of guys in your situation might just kind of want to see if they can parlay that fame into a head coaching job or maybe avoid coaching altogether. But you did put in your time as an assistant, and that is not an easy gig. Why did you grind the way that you did? What is it that you love so much about coaching?
I love the relationships with the players, being able to teach them, helping them. Make the transition from young teenage men to grown men. Give them a chance to have some success in life, man. We got so many kids that they want to be NBA basketball players. They want to do this, and they think that's the only way they can be successful. But I just love teaching and creating those relationships, man. It's just awesome to see these young men grow and become the men they are on and off the court. And, it's not an easy thing, but I love every bit of it, from recruiting to late night study of films, breaking down films. Just, I had great teachers, and they just showed me the right way how to do it. And I'm just very grateful to all three of those guys you mentioned. I've just been very blessed. I've been very blessed.
So I would imagine you probably take a little bit of something from everybody, but what did you learn about coaching from guys like Pitino, O'Brien, and Stevens?
It takes a lot of discipline. Prepping for your team, understanding, just teaching values, integrity, character, just a lot of things, man. Just being a really good person, man. Being a really good person. There's this quote that I learned. I try to live by with my guys. Give without remembering, take without forgetting. That's what we do here, and a lot of those guys have really touched my life in that way.
So let me finally ask you, when you take the job at Evansville, it's a homecoming for you. You could have been in the NBA as an assistant and then a head coach, or taken a bigger job in college, arguably. But as a kid from Harrison High School, what's it mean to be the head coach at Evansville, and then, Walter, to have a night like last night?
It means everything, man. This is my community. I'm born and raised here. I know everybody here. They know me. It's really bringing our community together. It brings our community together. And young people who walk around here who see me, they say, hey, I can do that as well one day. Hopefully I encourage them to do something special and chase after their dreams.
In fact, as quick follow, one thing. You played a clip last night from the movie The Pursuit of Happiness where Will Smith tells his son, don't ever let somebody tell you can't do something. Not even me, all right? You got a dream. You got to protect it. What did you want your players to take away from that clip and take with them onto the floor?
Well, everybody's writing these papers and these lines and whatever that we have no chance. All week, they've said that even people saw Kentucky on our schedule. Well, we know you're losing that game, And I'm like, wow, like really? So, and I'm not taking anything away from Kentucky, but I want them to know, like, don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. This is if we want it, we can go take it, but we got to do it together and do it connected. And they did it.
You wanted it. You took it. They took it. You're 2-0, and you got it done. You did it. Walter McCarty, my guest, head basketball coach at Evansville. He was a national champion at Kentucky as well. Walter, I really appreciate the visit. Congrats. It was a thrilling win and really good to have you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Walter McCarty. What a great win that was. What an amazing story. BBN. What can you say? All you can do is tip your hat. Man, they came in, they went into your house, and they did all those things. They outplayed you. They out-executed you. They out-toughed you. They out-prepared you. They out-coached you. Cal said it. 1-800-636-8686. What a tremendous, tremendous win. He did say, I didn't get to it. I ran out of time, but I wanted to ask him about that $4,000 suit. Makes me wonder, like, how many of those suits do you think somebody like that has? You never know what's in somebody's closet. Like, my man Antoine Walker, and it is kind of a sad story, but he's been upfront about it. He played with Walter McCarty at Kentucky. Antoine Walker had 80-plus suits. He wore a different suit for every game one year, which is incredible. We talked about that on my Showtime show back in the day.
Nobody dressed like you back in the day. You had some really flashy suits. Is it true, Antoine, that you'd wear them once and then never again?
Yeah, I used to wear every season I would get 82 suits made, and then
how many?
82 was 82 games, right?
82 suits.
Yeah.
Per year.
Yeah.
What were those suits running you back in the day?
A custom suit for myself, because I'm a bigger guy, was anywhere between $1,500 to $1,800 a suit.
And after you wore them once, what happened to them?
It's in my closet. I mean, I would probably wear them down the line maybe next year, but every year, you know, for about a good stretch, about 5 or 6 years, I got new suits every game.
Hey, I can't lie to you. Like, I know how that goes. My guy David August has been cutting me suits for, 15 years maybe. And I'll buy a few a year, quote, a few, not 81. And the next thing you know, you've got a few and then a few more and then styles change. I mean, dude, if he's throwing down for 80 suits a year, do the math. Even 5 years, 5 times 80. I don't know whether or not that includes playoff games, but understand too, in preseason games, I don't know if you get a preseason suit, an all-star suit, a first-round playoff suit. And also understand, you have to accessorize those suits. That's a lot of ties, a lot of shoes, a lot of socks, a lot of cufflinks. Man, I've never heard anything like that. And I know a lot of guys that like their clothes. 80 suits a year, one for every game, and you never wear a suit a second time. I remember seeing a story that Floyd Mayweather was buying, like, underwear. And he'd wear it once and throw it away. But that's underwear. And Floyd had a lot of money. Wearing disposable underwear is one thing. Wearing a disposable suit is another. Wow. All right, when we come back, I'm open. Which means you should call the program. What do you want to talk about today? Go anywhere you want with this. 1-800-636-8686. I said it in passing. A lot of you have been asking, Romo, where's Bill Romanowski for the podcast? The podcast was made for Romo. Finally, it's going to happen. I've not taped it yet, but I will after the program. Ep 104 of the Jim Rome podcast, starring Bill Romanowski. Terrence Crawford next hour. Greg Berhalter next hour. My thoughts on Colin Kaepernick coming up. But first,
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is time to ask the pros. We do that every Wednesday. You get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and then drop your question right there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Such an amazing story. Walter McCarty going back home to Evansville, and they were 25-point dogs. That, when you look at it that way, a 25-point dog winning a game, a Division I team against a Division I team, that has not happened very often in recent years. That is literally and statistically one of the biggest upsets ever. And they did so in Kentucky's house. Rome, there was a huge upset in Kentucky last night. Signed, Kentucky woman going into the gas station only to find out they are out of chewing tobacco. Steven PHX. Steve, have you ever been to Kentucky? Have you ever spent time in Kentucky? I have. I've spent lots of time in Kentucky. I've seen women. I've seen chewing tobacco. I've never seen any women chew tobacco. Not in Kentucky. Not even in California. Pretty much never, ever. I want to hear from a lady that dips. Copenhagen or Grizzly? Long cut or flavored? Or do you like leaf, beech nut, red man, skull, cope? Hey, Ike, you dip during the show. I see you spitting in that Dr. Pepper can. Just stop making crap up. That's all I'm asking. Just stop saying that you see things that you've never seen. Or stop saying you see things that have never happened. I've been to Kentucky. lots of times, spent time there. I've been to restaurants. I've been to gas stations. I've been to farms. I've seen women. I've seen men. I've seen chewing tobacco. I just haven't. Dear Jimothy, as a huge UK fan, I am sad about the loss to Evansville, but thrilled for Walter McCarty. The BBN supports their own, and it was great to see Tony Delk give Walter a big hug after that win last night. If we had to get our ass kicked, I'm glad it was by a family member. Evansville deserved the win, and Cal has the necessary ammo to remind his players they can win or they can lose on any given night. Congrats on your Radio Hall of Fame last weekend. Allegedly, Hawk Stash is roaming around, pun intended, Craigslist, looking for a new partner. However, we should not dismiss the rumor that Russell Crowe ate it. Taylor in Lexington, my man, you're all over the map. But it's good for you to acknowledge that win and to show some respect. And you're not coming in here and crying about it or making excuses. Because you know basketball. BBN knows their basketball. And they know they got their asses kicked. They had a team that was better prepared, better executed, tougher. You know, I hate to be trite, but they did want it worse, obviously. And I'm glad that I asked Walter McCarty about that moment he had with Tony Delk. He was so good on that. He said, man, we came up together. We had the same dreams. We spent time together. We battled together. And it was great to come in here and do that and share a moment like that with one of my brothers. That was cool. Hey, Rome. Joe Palmieri might be the hot dog king of Maine. Come on. But I'm the hot dog king of the world. Come on. Russell Crowe. All right, so this would also stand to reason. If I didn't get into it yesterday, it then can't jump today. Something can't jump today if it's not a thing to begin with. So why are you still coming in here with that Russell Crowe stuff?
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
I understand why Joe Palmieri, although I had no idea who he was for years, I do now. I understand why that's still a thing and why that jumped the year, why that jumped the half decade. Crowe being a really fat guy is not jumping anything.
Fat?
Nor could he jump anything at this point. I just don't care. How do you know it's not for a role? How do you know it's not for a role? Romy, Colin Kaepernick is getting a surprise workout? No, thank you. I would kneel in protest. Signed, Russell Slow. Casey, New Hampshire. Wore Russ doing the necessary work for his new role as Charlie Weiss. Wore the climactic, tear-jerking scene when Charlie finally gets his Popeye's chicken sandwich from DoorDash. All right, how about this? Why don't we go about this a different way? Explain to me, without getting into the topic itself, what is your fascination with an athlete or a celebrity gaining weight? Does it just make you feel better about you because you're that fat? In fact, there's your discussion. That's your answer. It does. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so do you remember a call we had a few weeks back? And it was a guy named Reggie in Ontario. I've told you a million times, I've set this thing up for you. Have a take. Don't suck. You don't know how long you're going to be on hold. There's this thing also. In fact, Ryan Seacrest, I believe, was really good about this during the Hall of Fame speech, where there's this moment where you're going to get on the air. Ryan Seacrest, he told this story about how he actually got the radio bug, that when he was a kid in Atlanta, he called a local radio station to win a prize. And when they come to you on the air, you hear this, and then something just clicked in him. The light went off like, wow, man, that was like a drug. Same thing with Reggie. So I'm going to Reggie in Ontario. You know what you're supposed to do. Have a take. Don't suck. Get to what you want to talk about. Get to it quickly. Hit it hard. Be aggressive. But not old Reg. Reg only wanted to tell me what radio station he was listening to. Reggie in Ontario. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Rome, I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, Reggie. What do you want to talk about? What's up?
I'm just calling in. I'm not in Ontario, California. I'm in Ontario, Canada.
Awesome.
Just calling in, listening to you on 90.5 Extra Sports FM.
All right, so Thanks, Reggie. Next time you call. Next time you call, Reggie, and I say, Reggie in Ontario, I don't need clarification of what Ontario. You know, I'm all about you mentioning the station that you're listening on. That's great. I'm nothing without stations that carry the program. I couldn't appreciate them more for carrying the program. However, you got to get to your point, yo. Five strikes and you're out, Reggie. I gave you like five different opportunities. So I think to myself, that went really badly for me, especially for Reg. Well, really badly for Reg. So that's the last of Reggie, right? Reggie's back for more. And apparently Reggie has been immortalized locally. Let's find out. We're going to run this thing back right now. Reggie, you heard how badly that went for you the first time. This is your second shot. Let's run it back. Reggie, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you in 3, 2, 1. You're on the air. Reggie, what's going on? Reggie.
Rome, how are you, buddy?
Still great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm glad for the chance at redemption here. It sucked having to explain to multiple people how I blew it on Jim Rome. I'm kind of known for having the gift of the gab, and that day I definitely choked up. So thanks for giving me another shot. I just wanted to say, War of the Detroit Lions. We'll catch a break here one of these days. Peterborough Pete's top 10 in the CHL right now. Go Peterborough. Go 90.5 Extra Radio. I'm out.
Bro, is that what you call redemption? Is that the word for that now? Redemption? My man, I said have a take, don't suck. You skipped the take and went right to the wars. The wars come after a take. You have to have a take in order to war something. So I come to you and you're not there. And then I come to you again and you are there. And you ask me how I am after that whole thing prior to. And then you start going right to the wars. My man, one more thing. There is no need to clarify which Ontario you were from with that voice and that dialect. We know. We know. The Ontario, California accent does not sound like that. My man. Reggie's like, good, man. Good, I'm back. That's the sweet smell of redemption. Now I can take a victory lap. Now I can just soak in it. Now I can bask in that. Now all those people who took a run at me for choking on the Jim Rome show. Yeah, tell me how my ass tastes.
Tell me how my ass
Reggie,
tastes.
How could you not be ready? You had weeks to sit on that, rethink that, gather yourself. And then even then, I gave you a whole lead-in. I took you back to your first call. I let you know. I mean, it's because I spent 3 minutes talking about you, you knew I was coming to you. You knew it. You knew it. And even then, I counted you down to it. I gave you your own mark. Radio term, mark. Reggie, coming in 3, 2, 1. Bam! You're on the air, Reg. And you still weren't ready? My man, some people were meant to listen. Some people were meant to call. You were not the latter.
How I blew it on Jim Rome, I'm kind of known for having the gift of the gab, and that day I definitely choked up.
You were known for gift of the gab? That's what you're known for. Gift of the gab? Well, let me guess, Reggie. People have always told you you should have your own radio show. People have always told you not only should you call the Rome show, you should be Rome because you have a gift of gab. You're better. Oh, man. Dear Jim, bad loss for Kentucky. I'm sure this will really hurt them at the end of the year. Yours, the NCAA committee, clowns, working overtime to find a way to jam Alabama into the CFB playoffs. Signed, Brett from Buggahaw. War, this being the biggest loss for a Kentucky institution since Russell Crumbs took his appetite to Popeyes. I'm just not going to say it anymore. I'm wasting my time and my breath. Hey, Rome. Antoine Walker bought a lot of suits, yo. I just hope he didn't rock domestic shoes. Signed, Phil Sims. My man, Phil Sims. He did say that. Last time I was on the NFL on CBS, he said, Jim Rome, I bet those are Italian shoes. Are those Italian shoes? He's always pimping me about my gear. Jim Rome, are those Italian shoes? To which I responded, Phil, respectfully, all my ish is Italian. Oh, good one, Jim Rome. Go over there and take your 30 seconds. Well, I will. I love Phil Simms. I love that whole crew. Every person on that floor, audio, camera, talent, director, whoever, best place ever, NFL on CBS. We're coming up. More telephone calls next.